Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the June 2021 Online Home Education Conference.
So my class is called Thinking Inside and Outside the Cardboard Box. And I am Kari Brimhall. This is my family. We have four kids, plus we had a foster son and a foreign exchange student. So down in the big picture, those are our kids, plus a couple spouses. We have my son got married a couple years ago, and so that's his cute wife on there. Next. All right. If there was a surefire way to prepare your child for the future, would you want to know about it? And would you try it? So if you could take, if there was like the super vitamin that your child could take every day and that would prepare them for the future, would you be interested in knowing, gosh, I think I'd probably want to buy that. Or maybe it's a smoothie recipe. You know, there was a cute gal teaching how to cook, what was the class, Growing Time. You know, maybe she has a smoothie recipe that will change your child's life. I hope, you know, you find that. Or maybe there's like these 12 books. Maybe you need to, if your child reads all of these, they'll be prepared for their future. Are you interested in something like that? You can nod your head and or yell out, yes, yes. Okay, guess what? There is something out there. It's called art. Oh, okay. So we love art at our house. And we do a lot of art, or we used to do a lot of art, because my kids are grown. I can't believe my kids. This is the first time in our life we've ever been empty nesters, and it is really bizarre. And we still have one kid at home. She's home from university right now. But anyway, there are six, according to Scholastic, I read this great article, and I just found it like yesterday. And anyway, six life skills that kids need for the future. So here are the skills. Number one, problem solving. And these are skills that your child's going to need for any job in the future, okay? Or all jobs in the future. These are some things that kind of we can focus on right now. So skill number one is problem solving. Skill number two, playing well with others. Skill three is smart tech. And I was surprised. I thought that just meant knowing how to use technology. But part of the article talked about knowing when to turn off technology. Not, it's just being smart with your technology. Because that's an issue. Kids are on their phones, even when they, you know, have jobs. All right, skill number four, thinking in 3D. Number five, communicating clearly. And number six, out of the box thinking. And I didn't even, that's the name of this class. I didn't even plan that. So these, the highlighted ones are things I'm going to talk about today that you, because you can use art and creativity, we're going to hit those three for sure. So how art builds kids? Well, number one, it boosts creativity. Kids that do art or art activities are willing to try new things, are more willing because creativity, it doesn't always have to look right. It doesn't have to be perfect. And they're willing to try new things. That's something that we've seen. Number two, observation skills. If you're learning how to draw something, you're going to look closely. Your observation skills are going to improve. You're going to start looking at those smaller details because you're trying to draw them. Number three, decision-making and problem-solving. You have to make some decisions when you are making art. You're going to decide, am I going to put everything in or just am I going to focus on this? There's problems that need to be solved. How do I draw a flower and the flower behind it? You're going to have to think through a lot of things. And number four, and most importantly, it makes learning fun. Okay, so I right now am a docent, which means a tour guide at the Chrysler Museum of Art here. I live in Virginia Beach and the museum is down in Norfolk. So if you ever come down here and want a tour of our museum, you let me know, I'd be happy to give you one. Because I love teaching people how to create art. I love teaching people why art is important. But most of all, I love to teach people and kids how to look at art and be able to appreciate and learn to love art. All of those things I'm not going to talk about today because guess what? I talked about those last year. So my talk last year was art is for everyone, including adults. And if you want to hear that, because it's a great talk, go to the LDSHE audio library. And you can listen to the audio and look at the PowerPoint. Just a big, huge plug for the audio library. If you're new to homeschooling, sign up. If you're old to homeschooling, sign up. Those classes are on there, can inspire you all the time, and they are wonderful. Now, I do want you to open up the chat, and I want you to write, first of all, I get so excited that I sometimes just lose my train of thought. But look at this little boy. And I love this picture. He is so immersed in his imaginative play. He doesn't even know we're taking a picture. He is so into this box that it's become not just a box. It's become a car or a hideout or we don't know you because it's all him. So in the chat, I want you to write down if you have ever had this experience. Do you remember doing this as a child? Maybe you got in a box. Maybe it was the laundry basket. That was usually my favorite. Or on your bed. Do you remember of a time where you were so immersed in play and it was like in a box or a laundry basket? My kids play with boxes all the time. I vaguely remember a large fridge box when I was a kid. Thank you, Jen. Stephanie, oh, absolutely. Anyone else, do you remember hiding out in a box? I remember setting up my room as a library and my siblings would check out books for a quarter. Oh, making money. Good job. I remember being in boxes and all my stuffed animals. We were always on a boat. Or my bed, and that there was hot lava, and we had to make it out of the hot lava. I still love movies about hot lava for some reason. So today we're going to talk about boxes.
Okay, real quick, there's just a few more. I know you closed your chat, so there's just a few more. Megan said she's on the spectrum, so she was always seeking pressure. Morgan said we used to build forts with cushions and we were surviving lava. And Megan said she would hide in cupboards under mattresses and the sofa, etc.
Nice, nice. And I don't think we did that because we were fearful and afraid, but it just became a different place. And that is what is so exciting. So today I've been wanting to teach this class for a really long time. And finally, this is the year. So boxes can build creativity, and let me show you how. The first way we're going to do it is we're going to look at it in the curriculum. So a lot of people are like, well, no, we don't have time for that. We're busy doing math, or we're doing English. Oh, yes, you do. Okay, so let's just jump right in. So for English, and this includes reading, writing, and all of that, one of our favorite activities, and we would do it, we did it for years. In March, we'd have a big Dr. Seuss party, and we'd invite all our homeschooling co-op group or just families, and everyone had to come in costume and bring their favorite book. But one of the biggest things that was super helpful was, it's called A Shelf for Myself. And down here on the bottom left-hand corner, that's my son, JJ, when he was about 9 or 10. Anyway, you take a box, you flip it on its side, cut off 3 of the flaps, and then you have a shelf. It turns into like a bookshelf. And so we had all our kids, and we invited all the kids that came to the party, go and find all your favorite books and put them on your bookshelf. And then at the party, everyone came in. We put all the bookshelves on our big table. And the kids, then we gave everyone paper and pencil. And we said, walk around and look. And everyone had labeled their bookshelf with their name. We said, don't touch the books, but write down the titles that you would like to read based on your friends. It was the greatest sharing of book titles for our young kids because they didn't usually ask their friend, have you read a good book lately? But here they were, here were 10 or 12 books on the shelf and they would just write down these titles. It helped immensely. Our kids all went home with big lists and then they went to the library and could check out those books. So super fun idea with that one. The middle one, the mailbox. And we've all made little boxes for Valentine's Day. And that's super fun. Our family, we moved to Mexico when our kids were young. We wanted to have a foreign experience. We wanted our kids to live in a foreign country. And so we lived in Mexico City. Our oldest was in second grade. And our next daughter was in first grade. And then we had two younger ones after that. But right when we moved there, we didn't know anybody and school wasn't in session yet. We moved there at Christmas time. And I had each of our kids make a box. We had a whole bunch of cereal boxes. And so everyone got to decorate a box. And I emailed everyone we knew, everyone that knew my kids. And I said, please write my kids an email. Just on one email, just write each one of them a little letter. And then I would print those out. And we didn't have any envelopes, but I just folded the paper in half, wrote who it was to, and then every day it was a different person got to be the mailman and deliver the mail. And so they would go and they would put all these in these different mailboxes, and then everyone could read their mail either after school or during dinner, we'd open up the mail. And our kids loved that. We did it for only like, I don't know, 3 weeks or something, but it was enough to get them through that really hard moving stage when you still don't know anybody and you're new at church and you're kind of getting used to things. And for them, it was just so nice to have a little note, and they didn't have to be long letters. I just said even one or two sentences or send them a story or something, but our kids loved getting mail. So that was a huge hit. And we did that a couple of times when we moved, just so our kids knew that they were still loved by other people, even though they hadn't made some new friends yet. So that's a really fun idea, especially when you're moving. The last one, this cute little gal read the book Chasing Vermeer. And instead of doing a book report or instead of standing up and telling everyone about her favorite part, she made a diorama. So when kids have to make a diorama from a book that they've read, they really have to stop and think about all of the different things that they're reading and get the picture from what they've read and put it into a box. And so this girl did just a really cute job of making the classroom where that book took place. Another one, the cardboard box puppet theater. So you can take a big box, cut a window in it, and it becomes a theater. When I was growing up, we had a wooden puppet theater and we also had a cardboard one. You can make a cardboard one out of those trifold science. It's the easiest thing ever. Those folders, the trifold science project boards, take one of those, cut a window and ta-da, you have a puppet show. And your kids for English, have them, you know, if they want to do fairy tales, then make puppets. You can make them out of socks or you can make them out of paper. When I was in college, I had to pass French because that was my language part. And I was really not very good at French. And one day our teacher said, well, you can either take the test or do a project. And I was, oh, project, pick me. And so my friend and I, we made puppets. So we're in college and we found, you know, had some old socks. And so we made puppets and we told the story of the three bears in French with puppets. And I passed French. So that was a huge, big deal. But kids can do a lot. They can learn a lot by retelling a story with puppets. They can do a lot by fracturing the fairy tale. That's a fun one. And making, instead of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, we've done Goldie Fox and the Three Polar Bears. You know, Goldilocks can be a mermaid with three sharks, doesn't matter. But the fun part is the kids get to not only write the story, but produce it with puppets. You can also do like a puppet theater where you have like the picture of the penguins and the whales, and the puppets come from the top part down and you put them on little shish kebab sticks. But kids have to think about what the setting is, what the characters look like, who's going to talk to each other, and how to manipulate all of that. So that's a fun one. Math, not one of these is my idea, but aren't these clever ideas? We have made big dice, and so those are super fun. I love the sorting idea. That was real clever. And have your kids sort just into a shoebox. The paper towel tubes. I've seen these in plastic, where you buy them in plastic and make, you know, different designs. That's such a clever idea. Have your kids paint all those paper tubes and then cut them so they can put them together. Geo boards, that's a piece of cardboard with push pins that you can do. That's a fun thing. Engineering. Okay, so we all know about STEM or STEAM when they do science, technology, STE, engineering. A is for art and M is for math. So engineering is a really fun part. And this is where, hello, grab a box and it can become a train. It can become an airplane. This is my husband's youngest sister. And this was when she was 3 or 4. And I used to babysit her and she was super cute. And one day we had some empty boxes and I was like, let's make a car. She was so excited. And you can see the windshield wipers on there and that red pipe cleaner, that was her horn. She got so excited. Coloring, we had crayons and some markers, and we cut and we taped and put this together. Well, I found this picture and I sent it, and Marcy is in her 30s now, and she's like, oh, I totally remember making that car. And I thought, really? That's a long time ago. But she says, oh yeah, that was so much fun. And I just, you know, she showed it to her mom when she came and picked her up. We kept it in our house and she would play with it every time she came over. So super fun and easy. Kids can be very creative with boxes. So here's, I was in the primary and one time we decided that, this is back when we had Cub Scouts, and the Cub Scouts needed to learn about traffic signs. And so we said, oh, wouldn't it be fun? Let's have everyone make a car. And so they made these cars and they put them on. And so one week we made the cars. Then the next week we had gone to the parking lot and taken streamers and we made roads and they had to follow directions. There was a stop sign and a traffic light and it was pretty much mayhem, but the kids really had a great time and they loved making those cars. Well, that was such a hit that we did it years later and we invited all the primary kids and their families to make cars. And we had a drive-in movie at the church inside. And so everyone brought their cars that they'd made. And we had one family and they had gone out and got huge refrigerator boxes. And they came in a semi with their kids and they all had this big box as a family. It was hilarious. So if nothing else, get a box and let your kids make a car, because that's super fun. Okay, also with engineering, this I wish had been mine, because look how smart this is. So the cardboard construction is what I'm looking at right here. And this is different ways to use cardboard to construct stuff. Who knew? So super smart. I have a Pinterest board, you can look it up. Yeah, under Kari Brimhall, I guess, on Pinterest. Or just type this in on Google, that's where it came from. But brilliant. So if you've got really good engineer kids that want to do a little more constructing that will stay, this is your poster. Also, this masterpiece art gallery. One year, our family, Well, for a number of years, our family did what we called change the world. And each of our kids chose one topic for the year. And so Mimi, this was hers, and she chose art. And she loved art. So every month she picked a different artist and she read about them, painted like them. And then for this art gallery, we printed out a little tiny picture of one of the art pieces that she had studied. And she got to put it, this is just a cardboard box, but it's kind of like a bird's eye view where you're looking down. And she planned out how she wanted to make this gallery. And she drew on the cardboard and I took the X-Acto knife and I cut the arched doors. And then she hot glued it in there. And then she was able to add her pieces of art. And this box kicked around our house for years. And she would love to like, oh, let me take you on a tour. So it's very exciting. That's what I do now at the museum. But she loved doing that. And you can do that with lots of things. All right. For example, I don't know if any of you have ever seen Stephen, I don't know, Beiste's cross-section books. These books are phenomenal. What he does is he'll take, for example, this book is his castle book. And he'll take like a castle and then he cuts it right in half and you get to see a cross section of what's going on in every room. And if you have a child that, you know, loves castles or loves cross sections, you might look at this page and look how much stuff there is to read, but they're only in little tiny, you know, two or three sentences. So a child that maybe isn't into, oh, I don't want to read, it's too much work. This is a great book because they don't have to read every single thing. They only have to read what really interests them. And it's only a couple sentences. These are great books for kids that don't love a lot of reading. And they're awesome anyway. Because that's really, if you look down in the right-hand corner, there's a dollhouse. That's what a dollhouse is. It's a cross-section. It's the house chopped in half. And it becomes a cross section where you can see what's going on and play with those things. So that's a super easy one, that cute little dollhouse. And then there's a castle that was built probably by a child up on the top of that. Now, I have to tell you a little story. I have a cute friend, and this happened years and years ago, and her name was Sandy, and she had two daughters, and they went to activity days. One was older and one was younger. They had so many kids in their primary that they had two activity day classes. Well, everyone was going to do cross stitch and everybody thought that'd be a great thing. Well, when Sandy was at home and somebody dropped her kids off, the older one ran in the house and she took her piece of art and she just threw it on the couch and said, here, that's what we did, and went off to her bedroom. The second daughter came in, and this was the younger one, and she was like, Mom, look what I made, and came over and showed her mom. So here's Sandy looking at this going, oh, okay, this is nice. Well, this younger daughter was like, oh, I love it. I want everyone to see it. She walked right over to the wall, took the calendar down, and hung up this piece of artwork that was not very beautiful. And Sandy was like, wow, that's really great. Do you think maybe we should put it in your bedroom or the garage or, you know, somewhere where no one's going to see it? Because she was kind of like, it's not very good. You know, it's not very pretty. And oh, no, that younger daughter, no, it needs to stay right there. So it hung there for a very long time. Well, later, Sandy talked to her other daughter and she said, is beautiful, you know, this cross, her older daughter, and looked at her cross stitch and she said, honey, this is so good. You know, aren't you so proud? Should we hang yours up there too? And the older daughter said, well, I didn't really do anything on it. I took a couple of stitches. Our teacher wanted it to look nice, so she did all the work. Okay, that the lesson here is whoever does the work is the learner and has ownership of that thing. They also have the fun. So this younger daughter, whose rainbow did not turn out so hot, She loved it because she made it. It was hers. Where the older daughter, it wasn't hers. She didn't care. So how does this relate to boxes? Well, so here's my caveat. Proceed with caution. If you look at the castle on the bottom left of your screen, oh, that is a beautiful castle. I want to play in that castle. This was not made by a child. This was made by, I'm sure, a loving grown-up who wanted to make something for their child to play in. If you want your child to have ownership over it, I want you to just kind of compare that with Marcy, who, when she designed this car, it didn't really look like a car. That red thing that you pull for the horn, horns aren't really like that. I could have corrected her. And those wheels, those aren't even round. Some of them aren't even, you know, they're not very round. She should have done a better job. I could help her. I could make it a better job. Stop. Stop as a parent and you decide, are you making this for your child to play in? Because that's totally okay. That's totally fine. But just know you're doing the project for them. Or do you want them to do the project and have ownership? Even though they're not experts like you are, you have to decide. And you can work together with your child on a project, but you need to step back and say, is this my project that I want make beautiful? Or do I want to instill this love of creating and decision-making and problem-solving? Do I want my child to do that? So you can pick and choose, but you just need to know whoever does the work has the fun. Okay? All right. Science. Let's move on to science. So right in the very center, everyone should make the solar system. And this one is very well done. And it might have been a parent that helped make this beautiful object. But let your kids, you can buy the styrofoam balls, buy the paint, pull it out, help them paint stuff if you want, but let them put it together. I just feel like every child in the whole world needs to make one of these solar systems at least once in their life. You can make it with stickers, you can do styrofoam balls, whatever you want, but everyone needs to make a diorama of the solar system. Now, some other fun ideas. So here's the ocean. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of thought went into this ocean scene. That they didn't make the fish. It looks like they're little plastic fish, but they had to figure out, how are they going to make those fish float in the water? It looks like there's a couple guys that are scuba gear, you know, that are down there. How are they going to make an octopus? And that was a clever toilet paper tube. How about jellyfish? How are they going to create this? There's a lot of decisions that have to be made as kids put together dioramas. Now, one thing that you can do, but caution again, you can say, great, now can you tell us about these fish? Or maybe can we write one sentence about each of these fish? Don't overdo it. Say, oh, great, now we're going to write a whole page on every single fish that's in there. Guess what? If you do that, your kid will have one fish and that will be it for the ocean. Okay, so step back. Not everything has to be graded. And it's okay to do things for fun, because guess what? This is a fun project and they're learning science and they're looking stuff up online and they're reading stuff out of books. Don't make every project a huge project, okay? Let them just have some fun with this, because what you're doing is you're training them to problem solve, to work through things and to get those ideas out. I love the rainforest. We've done a number of rainforests. But I love this when it was labeled, you know, here's the forest floor and here's the emergent level. And I love that it comes out of the forest, out of the box. So anyway, super fun. And yes, these projects tend to be big. They're going to float around your house. Just deal with it. Okay. You're not a minimalist. You don't let your child do some art projects. And you're right. You cannot be a homeschooling minimalist. It's kind of hard. But enjoy the process, enjoy the art, because it won't be there forever. One thing that I absolutely love that I was looking for when I was looking online for box ideas that were not the ones we had made, but I love this summer 2020 nature finds. They took a box and they just took more, they cut the flaps off and those become the dividers. And so hot glue those in. And this is amazing, number one, because your child's making it. Number two, all that stuff that they bring in the house, the feathers, the rocks, which are totally cool. This gives them a place to go. Okay, so yes, you can be a minimalist, but here's your box of science, cool, you know, science stuff that they find. So that's a really fun one. History. Okay, I love history. So here's just a couple. You know, we would do the pilgrim story and we'd often create a boat and the kids would be dressed up as pilgrims and sail into the harbor and get off the boat and meet the Native Americans. And that was fun. Just, you can find big pieces of cardboard. I'll talk about that later, where to find them and what to do. That's just a cute one. The boy at the bottom who was kind of, he was going, ta-da. He was so excited. We had a co-op when my daughter, well, actually, I can only work in a co-op. That just helps me be a better teacher. And my kids love going to co-op. They have different teachers that inspire them. Well, I taught high school history. And I thought, oh, I don't know if, you know, I'm really good, you know, elementary. I'm really good middle school. I don't know if these high schoolers are going to really get into this. They loved it. We did paper mache Greek vases. They made, and this is, this boy's, this is a Roman city when we studied Rome. And he, his mom told me he spent weeks making this. So don't ever think, oh, my child's too old for that. No, they're not. They love it. Viking boats, medieval history. Oh, we've done this when our kids were in elementary, middle, and high school because it's so much fun. So the picture of the three girls, they all have boxes, they're banana boxes, but they're horses because we had a jousting festival. And so they were, you had to wear the horse and your pool noodle was your joust. And those are toilet plungers, they're all brand new and clean, but they had to, we also had an obstacle course where they had to hold that and their thing. The blue baskets were actually their helmets. Super fun. But we made these shields, cardboard shields. We made a castle. I'll show you that in a minute. We've done this for and these are helmets made out of cardboard and you spray paint them with silver and then you put black paint on them and wipe them off and they look really cool. But we did this for a family reunion and my husband cut out, no joke, like 30 of these cardboard shields. We had the biggest family feud right there and pool noodles everywhere and people were fighting. It was awesome. So fabulous. Okay, geography. So we were studying France when we were remodeling our whole first floor. We were insane, but we were studying France and all the cabinets came and lo and behold, we had a house full of boxes. It was perfect. So we took all these boxes and we were like, what? We've got to do something with these boxes because they're so fun. So we decided for our culminating project with France, and this is called the Passport Club. And I'll tell you a little bit just more about that. But I have a whole program. It's free. It's on my website. But for France, so we made the Eiffel Tower. We had these tall, you know, our cabinets were really, some of them were really skinny. So we had this tall Eiffel Tower that we just drew with Sharpies. And then each of the kids had, we had the crepe shop and we also had a French cafe. And each of the kids, you know, got to stand or sit in their little box and be able to give food to people. So that was fun. And of course, the caves of Lascaux are where those primitive bulls and horses are. And so we had, opened up a couple of boxes and they had to actually crawl in here. This was the cave so they could look at those. So that was super fun. Okay, other boxes. Okay, so what do you do with the pizza box? Well, we would do summer camps every summer. And I have a talk on that if you are interested in how to run a summer camp. That's super fun. I walk you through exactly how to do it. But that summer, that camp, we did everything with a box. And so we took pizza boxes and I made solar ovens. We also took pizza boxes. I went to the pizza store and I said, please, can I buy some boxes? And they were like, oh no, we're happy. How many do you need? And I was like, I need 12. And I did that at two stores because we had all kinds of kids. And it was like, yeah, each of them got a solar oven. And then the other one, they opened it up and most of the boys made roads for cars, like matchbox cars to drive on, or trains. And that's kind of the picture on the left. The girls, most of them made, they opened up their box and they made, they drew a dollhouse on one side, like a cross section of a house. Then they made paper furniture and they decorated and colored the rooms, made paper dolls that could live in that. And when they were all done, the best part is they took that box and they folded it up. We put holes in the top and made handles, and everything was in a box and could go. Super fun. Some other ideas are you can make an easel, a painting easel out of a pizza box. And I love this ninja, our samurai, the pizza, the Little Caesar samurai out of pizza boxes. Well, that's another option. Okay, what can you do with little boxes? You can make a little tiny puppet show with little tiny fingers, and they can do a knock-knock joke, you know, or riddles, or they can do their own little tiny, tiny thing. You can make robots or monsters, and these are like pudding boxes. Just save all those little boxes and have your kids paint them. My husband, when he would go visit his grandma in the summer, she would save boxes for a long time. And when he got there, she'd say, here's all the boxes. And he would go down in the basement and create a city. So I don't have a picture, but this is another school that did the same idea. Just those little boxes are perfect for houses or tiny cities. So when we did this with our camp, our kids, we'd ask, please everyone save boxes. And each of the kids made a city, and some of the cities went out and others went straight up, and they just kind of went on top of, they just kept gluing them. We gave everyone a glue gun and they all just glued them. It's hilarious. Okay, medium-sized boxes. You can do the Minecraft. Our son made a Minecraft mask. You can buy them now, but it was a box, and he painted green paint in 5 different colors, cut them out and matched them, and it was fabulous. You can make a car ramp. How fun would that be? Or we have had a number of doll clothes closets, and this is just a medium-sized box, and they just open that up. What can you do with a big box? Well, when our kids were little, we moved to New Jersey. My husband was a computer consultant, and we moved into this huge house because they gave him a per diem. And anyway, he found this house and it was a great deal, but it was huge. There was a formal living room, a formal dining room, a family room, a regular dining room, and a kitchen nook. I mean, it was humongous. And so we weren't gonna be there very long. So we were like, we're not renting furniture except for the family room. And so there was an appliance store about 10 minutes away. And one day I noticed they were getting rid of boxes. And I was like, oh my. So I went over and I asked, can I have these? They're like, oh yeah. So we bent them down, put them in the van. All the kids had to put their heads down because the cardboard was smushed on the top of all the seats. But we got home and we had gone to Florida to visit our cousins, and we went to Cape Canaveral. And oh, we knew we needed to make a rocket. Well, this is not the rocket we made. I don't know where those pictures are, but you can, I think you can buy these or look it up on Google, but this is similar to what our rocket looked like. My husband, for days, he, you know, measured stuff and all the kids helped, but he loves to measure. I just eyeball stuff, but he was totally measuring and taping and, oh, super fun. Okay, we bought a house that had a pool, and as soon as I saw the Boy Scout cardboard boat float, that they have contests, they have these regattas. The Scouts have to make a boat, and then they have to float it. And sometimes it's in a lake, sometimes it's in a pool. if you can't even imagine this, go on YouTube and type in cardboard boat float. It's hilarious and it's so fun. Well, I knew we needed to make this. So at this box camp, I called appliance stores. They're like, no, we crush all our boxes. You can't have them. And I went to Sam's Club or Costco and I was like, oh, please, can I have that watermelon box? And they were like, well, it's still kind of full. And I said, I know, what, you save it. So they were like, okay. So a few days later, I went back and they'd saved me this box and duct tape rolls. And well, this floating boat thing cost me, I don't know, $25 or $30 because I just had to keep buying more duct tape. And so this is JJ. And he got in the boat first because we were like, I don't know if it's really going to float. But he got in first and it worked. So he hurried and jumped out. We put four kids in and they paddled around the pool and then they got out and the next four got in. Anyway, it lasted about 15 or 20 minutes until it died, but it was a glorious 15 minutes. So super fun. And if you don't want to do like full size, you can do like smaller boxes and have, you know, races with those and just use a lot less tape. Other big boxes. So in this house in New Jersey, the first thing we made were castles. We have three girls and one boy. So we made these huge castles and then we just had dress up clothes and we made hats. We had birthday parties. We had people come over and we always had just so much fun. We'd tell stories and the girls like to sleep in there. You know, it's just one of those really magical moments and they were just cute. Well, after those kind of got crunched down after about a year, this was the next one. And I got more boxes, but this time, instead of a castle, we let each kid design their own. So Sarah Kay, she had a restaurant. Isha had an art store and JJ had just a regular house. But they got to draw the windows and they got to draw the doors and they got to paint them and we cut them out. And that year for Christmas, like Sarah Kay got a whole bunch of small little plastic food so she could actually sell, you know, have people come to the restaurant. So much fun and just super, super creative. Kids have a lot of creativity with it. These are games you can play and these are super fun, super easy. And you can find all of these on Pinterest. So just go to Pinterest and type in cardboard box ideas for kids and all kinds of stuff comes up. I also have a couple of boards you can look at if you want, but anyway, you can look this up anywhere. Super fun ideas, lots of creativity. I love, our kids have done, like in the right-hand corner, where you take popsicle sticks and you glue them to make the marble go down or make a marble maze. Super fun. And these are great for summer. These are great summer projects. All right. Cardboard sheets. A lot of places, for example, Sam's Club or Costco or BJ's, they don't have big boxes of stuff anymore. They usually get stuff on pallets and they're saran wrapped all the way around, but they have cardboard sheets and they're 4x4, usually 4x4 feet wide. And these are just big cardboard sheets. Some are really thick, some are really thin. So if you want big cardboard to do fun things, just go and they are usually so happy that you'll take away their cardboard. So make a car ramp, look how fun that is. This is my daughter, Ishel, and she made, before cornhole, it used to just be called throwing bean bags and stuff. But now cornhole is now a sport. It's kind of crazy, but it's like, we're just throwing bean bags, right? That's all this really is. So you can make fun beanbag things. Where do you find boxes? Well, I don't know about you, but Christmas time looks like the top picture for us. Like, oh, Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. So lots of boxes. You might have some of these in your garage. But if you don't, you can ask around for boxes or in the bottom right-hand corner. That picture is from Sam's Club or Costco. They do have boxes. Usually they're not great boxes for moving, but they're super cool boxes for creating. That's fun. Okay, So because my kids are, I don't want to say they're all grown up because that makes me sound really old because I'm still growing up myself. But did it work? I have been where you are. And my kids, we didn't homeschool till our oldest was in sixth grade. And then we started homeschooling. And Mimi, our fourth child, she homeschooled the whole time. So each of our kids homeschooled sometime, part-time, or all time. And did it work? All these crazy talks that I have given. And if you like what you heard here, go on to LDSHE Audio Library and you can look at some of my other talks, because lots of fun ideas that, you know, nobody has ideas like I do. I guess I don't think like everybody else, but I love what we did, and we did what we felt in our heart was right and right for our kids at the time. So did it work? Well, let me tell you, we have had some success. Three of our kids are married, and Sarah Kay is our oldest. She's in the black shirt. She and her husband live in Chicago, but are moving back to New York, where she is in data viz. She works for one of the top graphic design companies in the United States. Her boss is world renowned, and Sarah is her right-hand man. She is fabulous and loves her graphic design. She works in DataViz, which means she takes data and visualizes it in an incredibly creative way. It's kind of a new thing up and coming. Isho, our second daughter, she and her husband live in Utah, and she teaches art at school. And she does all kinds of crazy, fun things with her kids. Loves her job teaching art. And in the next slide, she's got a YouTube channel, and she does Instagram, like little mini movies, and teaches all kinds of art lessons. So if your child needs some art lessons and you don't want to teach it, I'll show you in the next slide where you can go for free just on YouTube. And she does a fabulous job. Jefferson is next, and he and his wife live in North Carolina. And last Christmas, he started a business carving, hand carving Santa Clauses. So if you're interested in those, let me know. I'll link you up with him. But started his own business, started and learned how to market. And that's really worked out well for him. Mimi is our next daughter, and she is home from college right now till they go face to face, go back to school face to face. And one of her many talent is gathering people. And she just hosted a Pinewood Derby for the whole young single adult ward. And it was a huge hit. So she has, her creativity is gathering people. She's thrown all kinds of, you know, super fun parties. We did a Harry Potter party and we had 50 kids come. I mean, it was crazy. Full costumes, run through the house. We have a secret passageway in our house. And anyway, we did all kinds of super fun things. So super creative that way. Lastly, this is Darnell. He was our foster son, and he joined our family at 13 and has gone home since. But he super talented and creative in music and a super athlete. And so for us to have him in our home, we encourage that creativity. Try that. Try new things. Try making a beat. And really, that was phenomenal. He's an incredibly talented young man. Okay, so here's the end. This is me. I'm Kari. If you have any questions, I will take those in the next 4 minutes. Or you can email me. There's my email address. Also, I have a website that is really in process, but I do have the Passport Club, which is a geography program that goes for the whole year. That's super fun. And you can find that at instantsunshine.fun. If you want the free art lessons there, just look up Ishel Hertz or Ishel Hertz Art on YouTube. And they're all like 4 or 5 minutes. So those are super fun. And she did those when COVID started and the school shut down. She was teaching. And so she just went on and taught online. So super fun. And I just think that is the end. So I hope that you will open up your mind, open and step out of the box and help your kids to be creative and problem solvers and to just have a lot of fun doing that in your homeschool journey. Thank you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.